Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today I am speaking with the legendary and mythical Dr. Mark Skousen, editor of Forecasts and Strategies. If you haven't heard of Mark, he's a renowned economist, author of over 25 books, producer of the famous Freedom Fest conference in Las Vegas every year, and also a direct descendant of Benjamin Franklin. But most importantly, Mark has discovered numerous winning stocks, which he has introduced to investors in the pages of his newsletter. So, Mark, welcome.
Jack, good to be with you.
Mark, I hope you like the way I described you as legendary and mythical, as I saw
Yes,
you.
I've usually legendary means you've been around way too long.
I
So,
saw.
but mystical, that sounds very eclectic. I like that one.
Mythical.
Oh, mythical, not mysterious.
I
Mythical. All right.
saw your interview with Jim Rogers, so I, you know, I'm
Oh,
taking a riff
yes.
from that. So I want to start off with kind of your current issue of your newsletter, Forecasts and Strategies, which I'm looking at the December issue where you're still, kind of optimistic on the economy for 2019. So I want to know, has your view changed at all, with the recent action, in the market and, also interest rates, which happened yesterday, which kind of, I guess, was anticipated a little bit by the market. But what's your outlook for 2019 right now?
Well, I do think that the Federal Reserve under Jay Powell is has the task of removing the punch bowl because of the easy money policies that the Fed has pursued, and we've had a marvelous 10-year bull market. I called it the mother of all bull markets on CNBC with Rick Santelli. And we've been fully invested during this time period, so we've not bought into the bearish sentiment and the doom and gloom crowd out there. Avoided that. At the same time, we've been out of gold and silver since 2011. We've been investing in the stock market across the board, individual stocks and mutual funds. But I do think we're entering the final stages, if not the end of the bull market, at least as we're used to it. We've been looking for a correction. I think we're in it. And it's hard to say how long it will last. I will say, however, I don't see on the horizon a serious crisis like we had in 2008, where the banking system was threatened and the real estate market was collapsing. We're seeing a rise in rates back to normalcy. To quote Nicholas Biddle, he said, "In renouncing illusions, find peace and content in that simplest, sublimest of truths, 6%." And 6% is where we're headed for, not necessarily short-term rates. I don't think we're headed that high. But in terms of the mortgage rate, we're getting long-term rates. We are getting back to the more traditional 5 to 6% rate. I do think that the economy is looking strong in the U.S. anyway, benefiting from the Trumponomics of lower corporate tax rates, which I think was really beneficial, and deregulation to some extent. His trade policies are another matter. I think it's very anti-business, and I don't like his approach of intimidation and embarrassing and public humiliation of your trading partners. I don't think that's a smart way to do it. The jury is still out. I mean, he thinks that he can pull off something here. Larry Kudlow is a longtime friend, and he's the chief economic advisor to the president. But he's a free trader, so he's not buying into the, he spouts it. He says he understands what the president's doing, but I know personally he's not happy with what's happening there.
Now, it's interesting. In your newsletter, you mentioned, I think we might call it a tale of two conferences. You mentioned you were at the
Yeah.
New Orleans conference and then the Ron Barron's conference,
The Ron Barron
shortly later.
conference in New York.
Two
Yeah.
totally different audiences. One is sort of like gold bug perma-bear a little bit. The other one is more growth investing, value investing. And you said something interesting, which was when you spoke at the New Orleans conference in 1980, when Reagan got into office, the crowd at the conference was very skeptical. They were
Yeah.
very bearish, whereas you said that Reagan would kickstart a new bull market and jumpstart the economy. How would you say Trump kind of likes to compare himself to Reagan. Would you say there's any similarities, or is this Reagan part two or not?
Well, certainly not in terms of personal style. Reagan was much more of a diplomat in his behavior, and he was faithful to his wife, and there's a lot of factors
There's a lot of right. There's some
that
dissimilarities, right? They didn't have Twitter, right? There's.
yeah, and I think to some extent, I've been told. I mean, I've met Trump several times, but I've been told by his friends that he really has no real scruples, that he's just playing whatever soundbite that got him elected, and he's sticking to that. So he has appointed some really good judges and Supreme Court judge, from what I can tell, and he's done some good things listening to his supply side advisors, who are friends of mine. So I give him credit for that, but I don't think he's an ideologue like Reagan was in that respect. And certainly Reagan didn't push the trade protectionist views as much as Trump has. But I think the as far as the New Orleans versus New York conference, that does reflect a difference in approach, because if you are pessimistic, if you are by nature bearish, and a lot of people are, you're going to miss out on some tremendous opportunities. You're always looking for gold going up and the stock market to crash. And most of the time, two-thirds of the time, stocks are going up and gold is not. Gold can go through a 20-year bear market. You don't see that happening very often in the stock market. So I lean more on the side of the Barron type conference, Ron Barron being the mutual fund magnate who invests in traditional stocks and bonds and does not get involved in gold investments that much. Listen, I met people at New Orleans conference who in the last few years have lost 70% of their money because they invested in penny stocks. And that's just a very dangerous thing, and it doesn't fit well with my own strategy, which is what I call the swan strategy, sleep well at night by investing in traditional companies that make money, that pay a dividend, and have a rising dividend policy. And it's a quality, it's a way to benefit, or let's put it this way, during a bear market, Dick Russell said it best. He says, the winner is he who loses the least. And when you have dividend paying stocks, it cushions the fall. They just don't drop as much compared to the tech stocks that pay little or no dividends, and they can drop 30 or 40%, which they've done.
So look, kind of let's get into sort of your investing strategy, like what you're sharing with your subscribers right now.
So I after my last prediction was that we've enjoyed the mother of all bull markets, not bear markets, bull markets, and that now it's being threatened like never before. So we've had the longest bull market in history. It's over 10 years long, and I think it's long in tooth. And so finally, we're getting the correction that we've all been expecting, just didn't know when it was going to happen. And I think the Fed is very much active, along with Trump's trade policies. Those are two big negatives right now that are working against continuation of this bull market. The market is extremely nervous, very emotional, and it's not a good environment to just sit. You know, it's almost like maybe it's better to go on vacation or something. So I think we are in a short-term bear market, but I don't see a market similar to 2008 and 2009, where the stock market dropped over 50% and you had a major crisis, and government had to reverse policy and inject a lot of liquidity and kind of save capitalism from itself. I don't see that happening at this point. So I do think long-term investors are okay and use this opportunity for dollar cost averaging, but you do need some protective stops. Like we've been recommending a number of tech stocks like NVIDIA and Teladoc and Telemetry, which is a heart monitoring company, and none of these stocks pay dividends. And stuff like that, they drop pretty sharply, and you don't want to get down 30 or 40%. It's hard to make that money up. So we use protective stops in those areas. But it's always a very small percentage of our portfolio. Most of our portfolio is in nice above average dividend stocks in profitable companies that have a rising dividend policies as well. So it's a great way to feel somewhat comfortable when the market's going down. No, there's no such thing as totally sleep well. You do get anxious from time to time, but it does cushion the fall, and they don't go down as far. I mean, I've got a one of my strategies is the Flying Five strategy. The Flying Five are the of the 30 Dow stocks, it's the five stocks with the highest dividend and the lowest price. And so they include Cisco and Verizon and two big pharma companies, Pfizer and Merck, as well as Cisco Systems, or no, Coca-Cola, I guess is the other one. And they're all up this year. I mean, the laggard is Coca-Cola, and it's up 8 or 9% this year. So all five of them are beating the market, and some of them, like Pfizer is and Cisco is up over 20%. So we're very pleased with that strategy, and my investors love them. We change it every year.
Okay.
We make a change every August issue, and that's how we, you know, a lot of people love my newsletter because of that, those kind of results in today's market. I mean, the New York Times had a cover story just on Sunday saying the best place to invest your money was in a mattress this year. Everything else has gone down, including gold, but not our Flying Five strategy. It's up for the year, so people are really happy.
So the Flying Five, you select those stocks in August. In the August issue is when you
Correct. Late
publish.
July,
Okay.
August issue, right?
Okay. And essentially they're what? They're the five the Dow's five cheapest and highest yield stocks?
Right, that's correct. But I will warn you, you have to look at it carefully. You can't just blindly follow this because GE, General Electric, was
Sure.
one of the Flying Five last year. But as soon as, and we were losing money. But as soon as they announced that they were cutting their dividend, we got out. And then they were dropped completely from the Dow. So they don't even qualify in that regard. But some people kept in it, and you know, it's down 80%. So you have to really be careful. If anybody cuts their dividend or they're removed from the Dow for whatever reasons, we take them out right away. So that saved us. We were down slightly in GE. We switched to Verizon, which was the next one in place, and Verizon is up 12% this year or since August.
What about Mark? What about the getting back to the Swan strategy, sleep well at night. What are some of the stocks that investors can sleep well at night with in 2019?
Well, I have a couple of them that have done extremely well over the long term and are doing, I think, pretty well this year. Main Street Capital is one of them. Symbol is MAIN. And it's, I've never got a single letter of complaint about Main Street Capital. That's how successful it's been. And it's a private finance company that finances private companies that either are expanding or want to go public at some point. They may be a family franchise. Main Street Capital is based in Houston, but they make investments in private companies all over the world, dealing with companies that don't feel comfortable going to the bank for financing. And they loan money to the companies, but they also do equity, take an equity position. So if they do go public or if they're bought out, everybody benefits. So they've been around since 2007. They're really the best of the breed of the business development companies, or BDCs, as they're called. And what's unique about Main Street is it pays a monthly dividend plus two special dividends a year. I think it's the only company of the 6,000, or the 3,000 or 4,000, I don't know how many companies trade publicly, but I think it's the only one that pays a monthly dividend plus two special dividends a year. So you get a July dividend and you get a Christmas bonus dividend, which we just got. And the yield even now is around 7%. So people are really happy about that. And the stock was up 25% last year, and this year is about break even, might be up just a little bit. And you're not bothered by a decline in the stock price because the dividend is so good. So that's one of them that we like. Another one that we like is Omega Healthcare, OHI, which is up 40% this year. It has just been sensational. OHI is the symbol, and that's a nursing home REIT, taking advantage of the aging population. And the quality of these nursing homes has increased dramatically. If anybody's been to nursing homes recently, they're very expensive, but people like that, and it's really a nice thing for the family who want to take care of their loved ones, but realize it's a full-time job and they don't have time to do it. And in a wealthy community, people can afford to pay the outrageous prices of these nursing homes, and that's what these companies do.
Now, what maybe we can kind of drill down a little bit. Like, what attracted to you to Main Street Capital? Like, what do you find compelling about the stock? What's your criteria?
Well, I've been looking at business development companies for some time, known as BDCs, and these are publicly traded companies they're finance companies, and they finance companies that are not public. And they never loan money to publicly traded companies. They loan money only to private companies, and these can be small mom and pop operations. They can be family franchises. They can be an oil gas company or whatever that wants to expand, doesn't want to go through the traditional banking route. And so they do deals with people like Main Street Capital or Prospect. There's Apollo Investments. There's a bunch of these. There's probably two dozen of these business development companies out there. And I don't know how I found out about Main Street Capital. I think it was the symbol MAIN, very easy to remember, and track record really great. They paid more in dividends than you've earned in capital gains, and they're just very, and unlike the other business development companies, they take equity positions. And of course, if you take an equity position in a private company, it's not liquid. You're waiting for the company to sell. And a lot of family businesses don't want to sell. So you have this money on the books you have this equity position on the books of Main Street, and we're just waiting. It's a waiting game. So you're not going to make a ton of money in Main Street in terms of a technology stock. You're not going to double and triple your money in 1 year. But if you look at the track record of Main Street, it's just fantastic for my kind of subscriber who likes to have above average income, a potential capital gain, and not too much instability. You know, nothing's worse than going to, and looking at your account online and seeing that it's dropped 10% in a day. Nobody likes that kind of situation, which you sometimes get with the so-called growth stocks, the non-dividend paying growth stocks.
And what about, now you also have some more, you know, growth type stories. I think you talk about, is it disruptive innovation?
Right.
What, well, first, how would, you know, this word has become a bit of a cliche in the past few years. How would you describe this? What's your definition of disruptive, real disruptive innovation?
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of Joseph Schumpeter's creative destruction and Clay Christensen from Harvard, his disruptive technology story. And so there's a great ETF that we recommend called ARK Innovation Fund, A-R-K-K is the symbol. And it's run by Kathy Wood, who is a big believer in disruptive technology. So she's into 3D printing and self-driving cars. And she even takes somewhat of a risk with Tesla. That's one of her top positions. I don't quite agree with it, but she's convinced that Elon Musk is a genius and that Tesla will be fantastic. So
Ron Barron also is a fan.
Yeah, Ron Barron as well. I think they're drinking the purple Kool-Aid or something. I'm not sure that Elon Musk, who I've met or at least heard him in public, I mean, he's a very mesmerizing person that I think is mesmerizing is a pretty good word to describe his vision of the future. But he's heavily in debt and very high risk, came very close to going bankrupt just several months ago. So it's not my cup of tea, but I like it in a mutual fund. I can handle that. The Barron Growth Fund that I'm recommending, Tesla, is not in that particular fund. So I'm glad about that. But there's the ARK Innovation Fund. I think if you want to be invested in this area of disruptive technology, of the internet and artificial intelligence and self-driving cars and cryptocurrencies, then this is your baby. This is the one to take a look at. You spread your risk with an ETF, with a mutual fund, which I think is good when you're entering this area. I mean, we also recommend Microsoft, which under Nadella, the new CEO, is just working wonders to renovate. And for a while there was in market capitalization was the world's most valued company. So we like Microsoft a lot as well.
What about, I think before we got started, we talked a little bit about Teladoc. Are you're out of Teladoc for now?
Yeah, we hit our stop today, as a matter of fact. We almost hit it on Monday. And it's just... It's a great story, but got ahead of itself like a lot of these tech stocks. And they take the stairs up and the elevator down is one of the maxims of Wall Street in my book. And that's what's happened there. So you don't want to ever get in a situation in tech stocks of being in a 50 to 70% loss, even though the fundamentals look good. You can't let the market. You can't ignore the market price action. And there's another saying that I like on Wall Street, and that is Wall Street exaggerates everything. So even though the fundamentals may be strong, just a marginal change in interest rates or a miss in the quarterly earnings estimates or update can cause stocks to drop by double digits, even though there haven't been, you know, just marginal changes in the fundamentals of the company. So we're very alert to that. So with technology stocks, we have protective stops in place, and that's what we did. So we're out of Teladoc right now, and hopefully we'll get back in when the market turns around.
What's just real quick, you know, in case anybody is not familiar with it, what is the Teladoc story?
Well, Teladoc is called euphemistically the doctor in your pocket. So it's an online medical service system that is linked up with most of the many hospitals around the country, with doctors' organizations. And so when you set up something like this, and a lot of institutions, a lot of the Fortune 500 companies are linked up as part of their medical program with their employees, so that if you have a problem, you go online, you make a telephone call, you text, all of those things, and you can be speaking to an expert or emailing with an expert doctor within 10 minutes, sometimes even quicker. And so, talking about your symptoms and trying to deal with it, you know, rather than just rushing to the hospital and all of that sort of thing, it's instant, almost instantaneous advice from experts all around the country. And so it's taken off like crazy. I mean, it's got 21 million clients and so patients, if you will, who can take advantage of this, institutions as well. A lot of employers like this sort of thing for their employees. It's a great story, but doesn't pay a dividend. In fact, it's still losing money. And the reason it's losing money is they're taking all the revenue and plowing it back into expansion plans and acquisitions with other similar competition. And so they're all around the world now. And it's just a wonderful story. It's unfortunate that it's in this technology field that can be either hot or cold.
At what point would you get back into the stock?
It's down 7% today. So Wall Street does indeed exaggerate everything. I want to take some time. I don't like to just rush back in after you've hit a stop. So it might be a number of months before we get back in. A lot of it depends on Fed policy. It's Fed policy and trade wars are the dominant headlines right now that are keeping the market from going back up. I think the market does want to go back up, because every time that there's some positive, just bare evidence of something positive, the market really pops and starts moving back up, but it hasn't been sustainable. We get these one-day rallies, and then it collapses, so that's not a good sign.
So, Mark, let's finish off by, you know, talking about how investors can, you know, learn more about your newsletters, your publications.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
So, my newsletter is called Forecasts and Strategies. I've written it since 1980, when Ronald Reagan was elected president. So I've been going for 39 years now, and my goal is to write a book called 50 Years on Wall Street, which I'll write in 2030. So I'm still going strong, still love the markets, have a very strong following. Almost every one of our investments made money this year, which is pretty cool. So it's called Forecasts and Strategies. And if people go to markskousen.com, Mark, and then Skousen, .com, they can read all about my publications. I have some trading services as well. We do short-term trading in technology and in income stocks. And we have a fast money alert, takes advantage of momentum. So you might want to take a look at that if you're interested in some of my more trading type of services. And then I have several books out to get started. One is called The Maxims of Wall Street. And that book is now in its fifth printing. It's all the sayings on Wall Street in categories such as growth versus value, gold bugs, income investing, so forth. It's got some stories in there about J.P. Morgan and Joe Kennedy and Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has endorsed my book as his favorite quote book because, and I found out why. I quote him more than anyone else about 35 times. So anyway, he loves my book, and if people go to scousenbooks.com, they can read about that book as well as my economics books like The Making of Modern Economics and so forth. So those are the sources of information about my services.
Okay.
And books.
And you also have a bunch of events coming up where investors can meet you in person. Tell us about those.
So I speak at all the money shows. So the Orlando Money Show in the early part of February, I'll be speaking there. I'm also do my own conference called Freedom Fest, the world's largest gathering of free minds. It's a Renaissance gathering, and we do have an investment 3-day investment conference as part of Freedom Fest. It's July 17th through the 20th in Las Vegas at the Paris Resort. Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank fame is going to be there to speak and debating. We have the Libertarian Duel in the Sun because our theme this year is the Wild West, which kind of describes what we're living in these days financially. And Kevin O'Leary is going to debate John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods Markets. John Mackey argues that business, the purpose of business, has a higher purpose, the beautiful, the lovely, the heroic. And meanwhile, Kevin O'Leary says the only purpose of business is to make money. If you want a friend, buy a dog.
Right.
So we're going to have a pretty good debate there. But Steve Forbes and other Steve Forbes is our ambassador, and he's there all 3 days. He's a very big fan. So if people go to freedomfest.com, they can read all about our Wild West conference in July. We have several thousand people who show up, and we've even had Donald Trump appear a couple of years ago. So it's a pretty big event.
No, it's been it's really I think it's from from like press reports, everything, it seems like it's really grown tremendously in the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
5, 10 years.
We get major TV coverage. CNN, New York Times was there last year. And Fox News, of course. We've had senators and congressmen. But we try to get a wide variety of topics of philosophy and history and science and technology, investing, of course, and healthy living. John Mackey's talk on living to be 100 or 120 without getting diabetes and cancer and heart disease and so forth is standing room only when he gives that talk. So it's a lot of fun.
How much is a ticket?
So right now the super early bird discount is available until February 1st. It's $300 off the price, so it's only $445 per person and $300 for a guest. So it's a pretty good deal right now, and that early bird will end in February. We have a record turnout. I'm really expecting a record turnout with our Wild West theme this year. We're even going to have a square dance, and we have a lot of fun. People really love, and they come back year after year to Freedom Fest. So, Jack, I hope you
excellent.
Make it.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it. Mark, listen, I want to thank you for your time, and we look forward to speaking with you in the months ahead.
All right. Thanks again, Jack. Thank you. Bye-bye.